gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
The Stephanie Miller Show live from New York City. Hi, Ernest, the cab driver. Thanks for the ride.
What?
6 minutes after the hour.
Are you sending out long-distance dedications now?
No, I'm here, so I'm home. Oh. I'm winning New York one cab driver at a time.
Yeah, good luck with that.
But that's short for whatever was on that thing that was actually Ernest. What?
Sorry?
Yeah, I don't even know how they find placards that can fit names that long.
Now you're being racial.
But I am not. It's just very, very like, you know, I have trouble pronouncing, you know, Ed. And just saying. All right. StephanieMiller.com, the website. Check it out. You can email us all there. Executive producer Chris LaVoy, voice deity Jim Ward, or me, Stephanie Miller. I tweeted over the weekend, Chris.
Yeah,
check me out.
Yeah, you did.
I tweeted about our fabulous fun in Madison, Wisconsin on Saturday night. The pictures are up in the gallery section of StephanieMiller.com.
Uh-huh.
Of me, you know, just pawing various listeners in Madison. But thank you to everybody, to our fabulous station there, the Mike 92.1.
Yeah.
And the Barrymore Theater. A good time was had by all.
And if you want to follow Steph's tweets, just go to @SMShow.
Exactly.
So there.
All right, that was not the only fun time in Wisconsin. Yes, I got this story from everybody because it involves my two favorite things, Chris, which are drinking and Sheboygan. It's a Sheboygan story. It's a Sheboygan Fun Stack drinking story. Sheboygan. All right, give me some Fun Stack music out of Sheboygan. Jim, it's Dateline Sheboygan.
Sheboygan with a blaming eye. Stop the hurting and the same with the lighting.
This would also be one of the reasons 4,631 why Mama does not have children, because this would be me. Police say a Wisconsin woman stripped in front of her children in an attempt to avoid arrest for shoplifting, then scuffled with officers and exposed herself through a squad car window.
Wow.
Mother of the
Year. Problem solver to me, showing your kids how to problem solve. If you strip, the cops may not arrest you. It's a thought. The criminal complaint alleges that she stole a bag of beef jerky and a lighter at a convenience store.
Was she going to try and cook the beef jerky with the lighter?
I love jerky.
She thought the jerky was Lucky Strikes.
Police went to her home. The complaint said she refused to come to the door and became screaming and swearing at the three children in her house, telling one that the incident was all his fault. That would be me. Police entered and tried to calm her down. With her children present, she stripped her underwear and told the officers they couldn't arrest her because she would be naked.
Huh.
She struggled with the officers as they tried to arrest her. She alleged kicking one in the groin and spitting in the mouth of another.
Jeez.
Yeah, cops don't like that.
No.
I've tried that once. While in the squad car on the way to the police station, she exposed her buttocks against the rear window of the squad car. She had a preliminary blood alcohol level of 0.112%, which is, I guess, high.
Yeah, that's pretty high.
Even for Sheboygan. Sheboygan. All right. I found that entertaining. I don't know.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
To me, you're showing your kids problem solving. What's the problem? All right. Jim, speaking of trips you may want to take, you're going to have to cancel your trip to that women-only town of the Swedish lesbians. That does not
Damn
exist.
Damn it. I was afraid of that.
Swedish tourism officials are struggling to quash rumors in China that the country is home to a female-only town where lesbianism is rife. It's an internet rumor, Chris, about the town of Swedish lesbians.
Uh-huh. Okay.
Oh, Jim already... She already booked
Damn
his
it.
Ticket. Several Chinese media outlets have published reports claiming that 25,000 women live together in a Swedish town, which is said to have been built in the forests of northern Sweden in 1820. The residents have turned to same-sex relationships to satisfy their desires, and any men attempting to gain entry risk being beaten half to death by the blonde sentries.
And the Chinese found that arousing somehow?
I guess so.
Beaten to death by blonde sentries?
The far-fetched fantasy appears to have been swallowed by many Chinese men, forcing Swedish officials to issue a formal denial that the town exists or has never existed. All right. Sorry, Jim. Bad news for you and your travel plans. All right. Oh, look.
What?
Ding dong. Look who's here. It's the Rude Pundit, Lee Mama.
Hello.
What, he doesn't get his jingle if he's here in person with me?
That's right. I want to hear the jingle. New York needs to hear the jingle.
Hey, Papa's here.
Papa. It's Lee Papa, the rude pundit. Pundit.
Ah, thank you.
Rude, I'm sure you were just as shocked as I was at how rude the right wing was about the President of the United States winning the Nobel Peace Prize.
Yeah, my reaction was, it's about time he won. What the hell does he have to do?
What's a brother got to do?
Yeah, what I love is the attacks on him as if he went out there and
campaigned.
Yeah, he went to it. Maybe it was something he did while he was in Copenhagen, you know, nearby.
Exactly.
Maybe that's why we didn't get the Olympics, because he was too busy lobbying for the Nobel Peace Prize.
Aha. Uh-huh.
Yes. So, you know, I was reading earlier, Fareed Zakaria wrote a piece about how what the president, he's actually has achieved results in terms of, you know, the way he has reached out, the way Russia and China are, reacting for the first time in terms of non-proliferation, Russia agreeing to sanctions against Iran. It turns out maybe this international diplomacy thing is not so French and gay.
No, it's something that it's interesting to me the way the right wing is now telling him. I've heard so many people say he should have turned it down.
Yes.
As if that wouldn't have been a George Bush-like insult to the rest of the world. Hey,
yes.
Sorry, Europeans. I don't want your wimpy award, the Peace Prize. No American should get that.
We had briefly fantasized that he would give it to Reverend Wright or Bill Ayers.
Yeah, I had thought that he would donate the money to Acorn.
We were hoping.
Yeah, yeah. I just wondered if who said that, didn't they just give it to a Kenyan 4 years ago?
All right, so we've been talking about Afghanistan. You have a piece about Afghanistan this week. Where are you on that?
I'm at what are we doing there, and why is there not a large in the streets anti-war protest movement going on?
Yeah.
Just like when,
because as Jim Ward always says, we're too busy watching semi-celebrities eat bugs on television.
Yeah, mm-hmm. You know what? I have no there's no reason in the world I should know who John and Kate Gosselin are. And yet I don't even watch their damn show, and I know the intimate details of their life.
And, me too.
Yeah, and that's why I am not out there with a sign right now trying blocking traffic on Broadway.
Yeah, well, I was just reading, you know, the Frank Rich piece. It really just it should be required reading, but it really is true. There's just so much, you know, noise and heat, and the right wing runs the same play every time that, oh, we got to, you know, more troops. It's the only way. And if you really read what's going on there, it does make you go, oh, I prefer the president think this through.
Yeah, don't you? Why would we trust them? You know, how many times is somebody wrong about something before you finally say...
John McCain, hello.
Yeah, how many times is somebody wrong before you finally say, yeah, I don't think that's really, you're really the person to be giving the advice.
Yeah, but Jim Ward's head explodes every time someone says to Bill Kristol on TV, Bill, what do you think we should do? No!
Yeah, and of course, everyone should always be reminded every time that Bill Kristol was Alan Key's campaign manager.
That's right.
Enough said. Senator Carl Levin, Democrat of Michigan, on Friday about Afghanistan.
There are ways of showing resolve without more and more combat troops coming from the United States.
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing. It's I think Fareed Zakaria was writing about, you know, he's replacing just this mindless bluster and machismo with actual thinking and strategy.
We don't want that. No, it's go time. It's go time for a goal that was set 7-8 years ago.
I know. Well, I was reading that. I think there was a graph in Newsweek of all the wars. I mean, this is 8 years now. We're getting into Vietnam territory, the American Revolution. I mean, we're going into year 9?
Yeah, and isn't he allowed now that he's the president to say, you know, I don't want to do what George Bush did. I want to come up with another reason why we're there. Or maybe I want to come up with the real reason we should be there.
Right. Well, I mean, when you read the numbers, I mean, I was saying less than 100 Al-Qaeda?
Yeah.
What the hell is the United States military doing there in those numbers?
We're stopping opium wars going on. You know, we're stopping the poppy crop farmers from killing each other with the Taliban's help.
Well, why don't we just legalize drugs and then take away their profit?
Jim Ward, problem solver.
Yeah. I think it's easy enough. I you know what? That way my poppy garden wouldn't have to be hidden.
Poppies.
That will make them sleep.
You know, the right wing hates the president no matter what he says. Why doesn't he just come out and say, I love heroin? And therefore,
I think
am legalizing it in both countries. Screw you.
And then does a speech to school kids where he shows how to do it.
Yes. Brings Keith Richards.
Exactly.
Okay. More Amy Winehouse opens for them.
More education in a day than they're getting at most high schools.
You could do it shooting your eyelids, you know, and see how it runs.
Senator Mitch McKinless on the Afghanistan situation.
This is about protecting the United States of America.
Oh.
And we know that we can't have a haven over there for the reconstitution of al-Qaeda and attacks against the United States. We also know that Pakistan has nuclear weapons. The Taliban taking over a country like Pakistan would be completely and totally unacceptable and destabilizing not only in that area of the world, but all around.
That's true.
They might reconstitute like a Tang or something, or
yeah,
sea monkeys.
Because it's all or nothing. It's either we go in and we blow the whole damn place up, or we leave and just hope that they don't do anything bad. That's really the only option that I think Obama's considering.
Yeah, well, I think the point is just the difference between al-Qaeda and the Taliban. I mean, there are, I guess, I mean, I know it sounds like jumbo shrimp, but there are moderate Taliban. They are a part of the culture there that you know, I think they need to find a way to deal with rather than, and there may be something in it for them in terms of coming into the government. We've had, God knows, we've dealt with that in other places.
Yeah, and I wonder how many al-Qaeda there are in Canada.
Yeah.
Are there more al-Qaeda in Canada than the United States than there are in Afghanistan?
Good, let's blame Canada. Exactly.
How dare they keep their place clean?
It's national health that caused.
And it's
speaking
of extremism.
Speaking of Canada, featured in many Michael Moore films, The Horrors of Canada, prominently featured. You saw Capitalism, A Love Story over the weekend.
I did.
And write about that.
Yeah, it made me sad. It made me, more than any other Michael Moore movie, it just made me sad and depressed because I sat there and thought, I don't know what to do about this, Michael. You haven't really told me anything to do. You've just shown me a bunch of ways in which I have no power whatsoever, and I will never have power. And so I'm just left here to hope that I can live out my miserable middle-class days without anybody hurting me. Thank you.
Let me go back to living a life of quiet desperation.
Yeah.
After I finish weeping openly into my juju beads.
Yep. Yeah, I don't know what to do about the pilots. I don't know what to do about any of this stuff. Did you see the movie?
I have not seen it yet, but yeah, like the pilots in that crash in Buffalo, they're making like, you know, I don't know, $4 an hour.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
I haven't slept in a week.
The person that's cooking fries for you at McDonald's is making more than many pilots, yeah.
Yeah.
It made me just feel, and you just flew, didn't you?
Yeah, thanks for bringing that up.
Hey.
In a week, I have to fly three times. Thanks.
Oh, that's great. And I hope that you have those little puddle jumper flights, because those are the ones that are actually paying for the privilege to do it.
And those are the ones
that... Jim and I have been on a flight where the pilot was, what, like 14?
Yeah, there were 12. The pilot was 14, and the little girl in the co-pilot seat, I think, was 8.
Flying with Children of the Corn?
It was really interesting landing, too. So we're coming in, and then suddenly, oh, we're a little too high.
Kids, we're totally buzzing the tower. This is going to be awesome.
Was the 12-year-old working the pedals while the other one was steering?
Exactly. They were driving it like a big wheel.
Yeah, he's like buzzing the tower like Tom Cruise in Top Gun.
I feel the need for speed.
All right, 20 minutes after the hour, back with more. It was a big gay weekend. The president spoke. There was what did John Fugelsang tweet to us, Chris? I don't know if that's for the kids or not. Obama needs to stop making vague promises to gays and become a power top.
That's right.
We don't know what John Fugelsang meant by that.
We'll
explain it when we get back.
I only know it in terms of pitching and catching. I don't know what the other.
We'll tell you what the president said and what the reaction was as we continue on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Ew, even I found that to be in bad taste.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
I support ensuring that committed gay couples have the same rights and responsibilities afforded to any married couple in this country. I believe strongly in stopping laws designed to take rights away and passing laws that extend equal rights to gay couples.
President Obama received a warm welcome at the Human Rights Campaign annual dinner where he promised to sign hate crimes legislation.
Human rights. It's like peace.
and repeal both Don't Ask, Don't Tell. And DOMA, acknowledging frustrations there hasn't been quicker action on these issues, he reiterated he remains committed to the fight. Lee, what do you think the reaction was? What was your reaction, and what do you think the reaction of the gay community was?
It would be great if he was president and could do something.
Snark much?
It was a campaign speech. It was the same speech he's there are things he can do, you know.
We were saying that, I mean, technically Congress does have to do both of those things, and he'll sign them. I mean, wasn't that a message to Congress saying I will sign Don't Ask, Don't Tell? So don't they have to?
Sure, but he can also I think he can stop any of the ejections of people who are caught, I guess. Who have been asked or have told, I think he can stop the persecutions of them.
Right, but he's saying it's not going to obviously be a policy that will stand unless Congress actually repeals it. That's the way, you know, that's set up by law, right?
Right, but he can also take steps to show that that's something that he wants done.
This is what he had to say about Don't Ask, Don't Tell.
We cannot afford to cut from our ranks, people with the critical skills we need to fight, any more than we can afford for our military's integrity to force those willing to do so into careers encumbered and compromised by having to live a lie. So I'm working with the Pentagon, its leadership, and the members of the House and Senate on ending this policy. Legislation has been introduced in the House to make this happen. I will end Don't Ask, Don't Tell. That's my commitment to you.
I mean, isn't it sort of like when a governor stops executions because it's shown that it's that there's a problem with the system? It doesn't mean that the law has been changed. It means that the chief executive has said that this is something that we need to look into before we punish people anymore in this way.
Yeah. So, I don't know either, but I'm hoping as soon as we get health care done, he does this. But, I don't, like I say, it's
why not do it now? He can.
Yeah, I don't look because
no,
I think that they look. He's taking. You would think that reforming health care, making it fair for everybody, wouldn't be that controversial. But look what the right wing's done with that.
Right, but health care needs to go through Congress. Repealing Don't Ask, Don't Tell doesn't.
This is what else he had to say about Don't Ask, Don't Tell.
We should not be punishing patriotic Americans who have stepped forward to serve this country. We should be celebrating their willingness to show such courage and selflessness on behalf of their fellow citizens, especially when we're fighting two wars.
Yeah, I mean, I do agree with Chris. To me, this issue is a national security issue.
Mm-hmm.
So to me, there is urgency.
Why didn't
not just because
speak
it's
Arabic
the right thing to do
in Iraq?
Morally.
No,
that?
We don't need them.
Yeah.
we don't need translators, especially not gay translators. You know why? They'd make everything sound festive, and we want it to sound dark.
Or even gay people fixing airplanes, or gay people on the front lines.
What?
There are gay people all over the military.
They just gay up the joint, you know? And do you really want your airplanes, you know, putting out lavender-scented fumes? I don't know.
One of the things the president also said, Chris, is he said, if any of my nominees are attacked, not for what they believe but who they are, I will not waver in my support. Sure hope he's talking about Kevin Jennings there. Because that's, what the right wing does to good people.
Do you mind if I add in my...
Oh, we need to break.
We need to break,
sorry.
But you can add it in when we get back.
All
and
right.
After Tim Robbins, as we continue, 28 minutes after the hour, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
40, getting ready for sex is like prepping for a space mission.
33 minutes after the hour, it's the Stephanie Miller Show on the road. Mama in New York City, I'm here with the rude pundit Lee Papa. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number toll free from anywhere. Wait a minute. Actor Tim Robbins lives in New York.
Huh.
I guess it must be that unpleasantness I had with Susan Sarandon that he's now in L.A. since I'm in New York. Good morning, Tim Robbins.
I was just about to get you, and then I left.
I guess Susan prefers that we be in different cities. Well, that's fine. you're in L.A. Doing. Is this to do with the WTF festival?
Yes. What the festival?
I love the name. OMG. LMFAO. Whatever.
It's a festival we're starting tomorrow night with free documentaries. We're doing free documentaries on Tuesday nights in October. This is a great documentary called Sir No Sir. And people can get tickets by going to the website at WTFFestival.com.
Well, there's a link to that on StephanieMiller.com, Tim Robbins. You know I link to everything to do with Tim Robbins. So it's Tuesdays through Saturdays out in L.A.?
In L.A. at our base in Culver City. It's a beautiful, intimate space that we're going to have some pretty amazing performers come in and do great stuff.
Yeah, I hear you have an eclectic lineup. You've got Tenacious D, Jackson Brown, Gore Vidal, Sarah Silverman. You have quite a list.
Wow, Gore Vidal and Kyle Gass. That's almost too much show right there.
There you go. I'm not on the same stage, however.
At the same time.
No, we've got Tenacious D coming this weekend. There's still tickets for that. It's Saturday. Those are the fundraiser nights. Saturday nights are kind of the singer-songwriter fundraiser nights. We've got Jackson Brown the following week, and then we've got Serge Tankian from System of a Down, and Tom Morello and Jenny Lewis from Rilo Kiley, and Ben Gibbard from Death Cab for Cutie. It's going to be great.
Wow. Very cool.
Yeah.
Wow. Well, you know, Tim, you and I have been talking politics for a long time, but is it me, or are they really getting meaner and crazier on the right wing? I mean, this reaction to the president winning the Nobel Prize, you'd think there'd be, like, at least a second of just, you know, a proud American moment and, hey, congratulations.
How about that they didn't want to get the Olympics for America?
Yeah. I know. I mean, isn't it hilarious for us on the left now to finally be able to go, why do you hate America so much? Why are you rooting against us?
It's just unbelievable, but it's more and more typical. I just don't think they have rational minds. And, you know, it's kind of like the kid that gets caught lying, you know, and he's in trouble. And so how does he react? Does he suck it up and accept responsibility and say, I'm sorry? No. He starts accusing people of doing things that are totally outrageous.
Yeah,
It's like a pathological criminal, you know, a pathological child.
Yeah. Well, you know,
I
and it seems to me
during the whole war thing that what we're dealing with was a bunch of screaming second grade girls with no disrespect to second grade
yeah.
girls.
Yeah, no, of course.
This is even worse. This is.
Well, that's exactly it. And we were talking about Frank Rich's piece, which was great yesterday in the New York Times, about Afghanistan and about why are we listening to the John McCains of the world who were completely wrong about everything about Iraq, you know, screaming this same thing about Afghanistan now. I'm glad we have a president that's taking time and thinking this through.
I'm a little concerned because it's kind of like Alice Wonderland. If we're living in a society where failure is appreciated and supported and celebrated. You know, you get a promotion if you fail. If you fail, you get a bailout money of billions of dollars. Hmm. If you fail, you get promoted or given a Medal of Honor. You know, the tremendous failure of people. And by the way, people that were right, I know a few of those people.
Not particularly
getting any reward.
Well, if the failure
can you imagine the movie business? Not Tim Robbins, you wouldn't know about this, but other people have done movies that are bombs. I mean, can you imagine? They're like, oh, we're sorry, Tim, here, we're going to give you all the money back.
Yeah, we'll give you the money back and a bonus. And here's, by the way, let's double it for the next movie you do.
Yeah, exactly.
Start living in the real world. That's part of the reason we have to do this festival is because this, you know, the arts have been hit real bad. Our funding has dropped off by a huge percentage, and our education programs are threatened. We're in schools every day teaching in public schools the craft of theater, and all those programs, by the way, the state cut years ago. But we're trying to compensate by bringing our nonprofit into the schools, and we do that. We do outreach programs in other ways. We open our theater for people that don't have money one night a week when we're doing a show, a pay-what-you-can night. We do a prison project where we go into prisons and rehabilitate through creative enterprise. But all of these programs have been cut back, you know, and all the programs are threatened, and even our own theater's existence is threatened because of this economy, because of these rotten decisions made by these idiots that get promotions. And so we're appealing to the public to come out and help us out and come down to the theater. A lot of the events are free because we want new people in our space. Mm-hmm. Tomorrow night, that documentary is going to be fantastic. There's going to be some veterans in there and the talk back with the director. It's a great documentary if you haven't seen it. Sir No Sir is a really amazing story about the Vietnam veterans who opposed the war, kind of led the movement, and how later a kind of fiction was created of the, you know, that story about the veteran returning to the San Francisco airport and spit in the face by a woman.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Never happened.
Yeah.
Really?
Never happened. There's not any documentation, no news report, never happened. It was
wow.
a fiction created to distract from the idea that the Vietnam veterans were actually leading the peace mm-hmm. movement at the time.
Like John Kerry.
Yeah, exactly, exactly.
It's
well,
a fascinating documentary. It's free. Come on down, Actors Green, 97 East Dennis Boulevard.
Yep. You know, the thing is these days, Tim, it just, you know, we know that from listening to right-wing radio or Fox News. I mean, it almost largely is based completely on lies. And it's gotten to a level of ugliness. I don't know if you heard about this story, but a Republican congressional candidate, they held a Republican event it was at a shooting range. And they shot at targets, including one to represent Representative Debbie Wasserman Schultz.
Oh my God!
They were silhouettes of Muslim stereotypes, and also Debbie Wasserman Schultz, the GOP candidate who is trying to replace her, fired at the full body silhouette with her with her initials written next to its head. She initially described it as a joke, and then minutes later he said it was a mistake.
It's becoming hard to make fun of them, isn't it?
I know.
They're not leaving us anything.
Either that or start, you know, arming yourself. These
yeah.
people are psychotic. Mm-hmm. They're really dangerous people.
Yeah, but it's what passes for humor these days, I guess, on the right wing.
Couldn't you have just used a dartboard like everybody else?
Yeah, really.
Yeah, Debbie Wasserman Schultz said, there is nothing light or funny about pretending to shoot someone. At a time in our country when people are bringing guns to town hall meetings and a preacher is calling for the death of our president, I find this type of action serious and disturbing. Tonight, I'm going to have to talk to my young children about why someone is pretending to shoot their mother. Trivializing violent behavior is the kind of extreme view that has no place in American politics.
What is wrong with us?
Yeah.
What is wrong with us?
Well, as I've said, we're becoming a nation of asshats. You know, Michael Steele was impersonating Kanye West. When did you see he released a statement before the president could even accept his Nobel Peace Prize award, condemning it?
It's just unbelievable.
Did he say Beyonce deserved it?
Yeah, Beyonce really deserved it, is what he was trying to say. Tim
yeah.
Robbins, you
one
can
more,
go...
One more thing.
Yes.
On Wednesday night, something rare is going to happen. Sarah Silverman is coming to the theater. You know
cool.
her, right?
Yes.
She's fabulous, and she's coming down. She's going to screen her movie, Jesus is Magic.
Oh, great, great.
And then afterwards, she's going to do a talk back, and that's going to be hysterically funny, I'm sure. So that's another event this week at the Actors Gang. And so come on down.
Yeah, you can go to theactorsgang.com, or there is a link at stephaniemiller.com to the WTFFestival.com. So if you're in L.A., you've got to go check it out.
If we weren't asleep by 8:30 at night, we would
yes,
all go.
Yes, absolutely.
Tim Robbins doing the Lord's work, as always. Tim, thanks for taking time for us.
Thanks, Stephanie. Thanks, Jim.
Hey. Can I stop in and have coffee with Susan while I'm here? Will she
she's
mind?
Waiting outside your door right now.
Yeah.
Terrific.
Right. Thank you, Dogga.
Terrific. Okay. Thank you, Tim Robbins. See you next time.
Thanks.
See ya.
Bye.
There he goes.
Wow.
Susan Sarandon has no idea who I am. But no. I'm going anyway.
Oh, I was about, I was, for coffee. I was about to leave to see if she was out there.
All right. We are joined in studio by Rude Pundit. Lots more to get to, including a disturbing celebrity stack.
What is Rude's address? To go read his stuff.
Oh, I'm at rudepundit.blogspot.com.
Yes.
Boy, that was clunky.
That was really clunky. I'm sorry. I should have done that a little smoother.
Segue.
Yeah, whatever.
42 minutes after the... Mom will do the hosting, honey.
Okay.
You just wear something
here.
Tight and push the buttons.
Okay, I'll do that.
43 minutes after the hour. Right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
And we'll be right back.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Mm-hmm. 47 minutes after the hour. Mama is in New York City live with the rude pundit Lee Papa.
Good morning.
Good morning, everybody. The Mooks holding down the fort back in L.A. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. Mike in Long Beach, are you still there on the healthcare debate? Hello, Mike.
Yeah, hi, Stephanie. I was just basically thinking about, I think, what the problem with these right-wingers are. It definitely proves that the educational system in this country is substandard, and we need more funding. And also, I think that the healthcare debate also goes and applies to these right-wingers, because I think that they need massive doses of Valium and Thorazine to calm down. Under universal health care, we can have that, but they don't, you know.
Yeah. All right. Thank you, Mike. Rude, you write about health care this week, about why nobody can understand it.
There's just so many plans out there that are so contingent on everything. Like, if we do this, then we maybe might get something where
yes.
the states could maybe come up
if
with plans.
If people on a train moving towards Chicago get health care reform or some
yes.
form of a public option, they're going 42 miles an hour, then, yeah, it gets a little...
Yeah.
It's a little confusing.
It's just we've been following this so closely for so long, and it seems like can we have a plan, like
yeah.
a plan.
Yeah. Jim, this headline startled me. Insurers mount attack against healthcare reform.
What? That's crazy.
I thought they were on our side. Why wouldn't they want reform? They do all those sunny-sounding ads.
Oh.
After working for months behind the scenes to help shape healthcare reform, the insurance industry now sharply attacking the emerging plan. Wait a minute, that means there might be something good for us in this Max-Baucus dreck. With a report that maintains Senate legislation would increase the cost of a typical policy by hundreds or even thousands of dollars a year. Oh, you see, they would continue to treat us fairly like they do now, Lee.
Yes.
If only the Congress weren't meddling in things.
Oh, totally.
Now they won't want to, but they'll have to raise our premiums.
And what they're basing that on is their own, maybe if this possible scenario might happen someday 13 years down the road, times 10.
All right. I have said I hope the president moves on at least don't ask, don't tell after health care reform is done. As you know, there was a big gay march yesterday
yes.
in Washington. You know, Barney Frank was kind of hilarious. But he has made this point, because you were saying, you know, there's a lot of impatience with the president. But what he keeps saying is you've got to lobby your lawmakers. You have to get him the votes for this. You know, it's obviously a process. Technically, Congress has to repeal it. I agree with you. The president needs to show leadership, but I thought he was pretty clear yesterday. Barney Frank said the marchers should be lobbying their lawmakers. He said the demonstrations are simply an emotional release that will do little to pressure Congress. He said the only thing they're going to be putting pressure on is the grass.
Oh, but come on. A good emotional release, you know. You wake up in the morning after a good emotional release, you're ready for the day.
That's the rude pundit.
Now we should change the name of the Blue Dog Democrats, because they teased us by giving us a majority, but now they're not giving us any, satisfaction.
No reach around. No political reach around.
No, they're officially now the Blue Ball Democrats.
Oh, so they need the reach around. Is that maybe that will never mind.
Well, here's some good fun facts. A new report from Pew, the polling people, finds a clear majority of Americans favor allowing gay and lesbian couples to enter into legal agreements with each other that would give them any of the same rights as married couples, civil unions, essentially. This finding marks a slight uptick in support for civil unions and appear to continue a significant long-term trend since the question was first asked. 50 gay marriage still opposed. 53% oppose, 39% for, but there is movement, you know.
Yeah, and you always want to make sure the majority is on board when you're giving right. because if you listen to the majority, then, you know, who knows who might get crazy rights like black people.
Yeah.
Exactly.
One of them might think they could become president someday. Woo, that's
that'll
nuts.
Never happen. You know what? And then he might make promises on Don't Ask, Don't Tell.
We can't let the crazies run this debate. You're absolutely right. Like Steve King, did you see what he said? Nutcake from Iowa, the Republican from Iowa? The hate crimes amendments attached to the defense authorization bill is Orwellian and provides protection to, quote, sexual idiosyncrasies.
Ah, what?
Sexual idiosyncrasies?
That's what being gay is.
Is that like a position?
Yeah, exactly.
Let's try an idiosyncratic thing tonight.
It's one of the positions of the Kama Sutra.
Right. Leg behind the head.
Reverse cowgirl.
The murder of Matthew Shepard was not motivated out of hate against Shepard. He said the Matthew Shepard case, there's been a fair amount of information that came out, I guess from his friend Virginia Fox, that really wasn't the motivation of the people who killed him.
No, what was the motivation? Was it a robbery? Is it because he looked so rich being there, young and badly dressed and by himself?
Yeah. I mean, seriously, they're basing
Laramie
on complete lies. It's like they admitted that it was because he was gay. I mean, King said the hate crimes bill results in Pedophile Protection Act, and it's meant to create thought crimes and protect sexual idiosyncrasies. He said, now that the House has been held hostage to this kind of political extortion, it tells me they can stick almost anything on a multi-pass bill, something as irrelevant as hate crimes. It's not irrelevant if you're the one that was killed because you're gay.
Right.
But he said that's irrelevant.
And why is it that every Republican statement on this kind of thing just ends up sounding like the scenario of a porn film?
Right.
Bunch of pedophiles and sexual idiosyncratics held hostage. What's going to happen?
Wow. You know, if you didn't think the economy's bad enough, Nicolas Cage, poor Nick Cage owes the government $6.3 million in taxes. They've placed a tax lien on his real estate holdings. Chris, this is how you know things are bad.
Uh-huh.
He's had to sell his castle in Germany.
In Germany.
Don't you hate that?
Yeah. Oh, damn
what happened
it.
To the Wicker Man money?
Damn it. Yes.
He had to put his homes in California, Las Vegas, and New Orleans on the market and sell the castle in Germany.
Damn it.
There's no.
That's sad. That's tragic.
So what's he left with?
I don't know.
We don't want a homeless Nick Cage wandering the streets.
That would be scary.
I've seen what he does on a motorcycle.
He's got big IRS trouble. I think we have some Nick Cage audio.
My bank account is a rocky place where my cash can find no purchase. Apparently, I was expected to pay taxes on the scratch I earned on movies I worked on over the years. You ever feel like there's something powerful pressing down on you? I'm feeling that right now, and that thing is the federal government. I'm afraid if I don't get this debt settled, that something will be my cellmate Bubba when I'm incarcerated. Last night I had a dream. I dreamt I was light as the ether. A floating spirit visiting things from my past, the shades and shadows of the people in my life, wrestled their way into my slumber, like the financial advisor I fired 10 years ago when I resented her telling me what to do with my mountains of money. If I want a castle in freaking Germany, then I'm going to buy me a freaking castle! And the dream seemed real. It seemed like home, if not Arizona, then maybe a land not so far away where nobody ever pays taxes. Maybe it was the Cayman Islands.
What he needs to do, Rudy, needs to get the bleeping huggies and go.
Yes.
Yeah.
Not unless Rand is funny.
Hey, here's a disturbing headline. Delisted writes, Rude, that Tom is banging Katie a lot in order to lose weight. Tom...
What?
Apparently, a source says Tom's been complaining how hard it is to keep off the pounds, so Katie vowed to help him out. She read somewhere you can burn up to 600 calories by having sex 3 to 4 times a week. So she's told Tom to think about how much they burn up if they put daily sex sessions on the schedule. Tom thinks the sex order is the best part of Katie's diet plan. He's promised to up the bedroom romps whenever they're in the same town, you know, for the diet purposes. We have Tom here.
Damn it! I just can't keep the weight off anymore. How am I going to do shirtless volleyball scenes in slow-mo with my man boobs flopping all over the place? How can I ever show my face in Hollywood anymore if people are talking behind my back about what a fat tub of goo I am?
I have an idea.
I mean, I've been following L. Ron Hubbard's Clear Body, Clear Mind Detox program, along with vigorous couch bouncing.
I know what we could do.
Plus regular com FE meter disconnection rundowns.
Why? What'd you have in mind? We could have sex. Lots and lots of sex.
What? But we already have a kid!
Not for that, silly. Just for fun. Just for fun, because we're in love and hot for each other. Here, look at my fantastic breasts. Don't you want my spectacular perfect boobies?
Get those away from me! Oh, God, I'm gonna be sick!
Oh, I get it. You want me to lose weight from regular copious vomiting?
Well, it's working!
Don't you want my beautiful coochie? Don't you want me anymore? Tell me the truth.
You can't handle it.
I gotta go. I got a thing with a guy.
Pull out that kind of a thing with a guy. Still, what do you think? Get your mind out of the gutter. Are we clear? Are we clear?
Crystal.
Good.
I had no idea what to do that. Audio rude. That is rude.
That's idiosyncratic.
More rudeness. Go to rudepundit.blogspot.com. There you go. All right. Join us tomorrow again on the Stephanie Miller Show. I'd like to thank Chris LaVoy, Jim Ward, and Rebecca Baker back in the saddle again. See you tomorrow on the Stephanie Miller Show.
ladies and gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show, 6 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere to join the party. Oh, what a big show. The Rude Pundit live in studio in New York City here with Mama next hour, and also actor Tim Robbins. What a show, what a show. StephanieMiller.com, the website. All the pictures from Mama and Madison on Saturday are up under what section, Christopher?
I'm sorry, what?
Under what section?
Oh, in the gallery section.
There you are.
Of StephanieMiller.com. And yeah. Also, just look on the Twitter feed. There's also a link there.
Mama's tweeting now.
Yes, SM Show at SM Show.
Yes, please follow me. And you can email us all there if you're old-fashioned like that. Executive producer Chris Lavoie, voice deity Jim Ward, or me, Stephanie Miller. Yet another story, Chris, from the Fun Stack this weekend proving
Yay!
Mama's point.
What?
And I think the right wing's reaction to the Nobel Prize was another perfect example of that. We are becoming a nation of asshats.
Oh, yes.
Kanye Steele at the Republican National Committee speaking before the president was even able to accept his award. See, he was like Kanye West.
Yes, I see what you did there.
Okay.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Yes. It started with Joe Wilson, Kanye West, whatever. Did you read the McRage story over the weekend? McRage over wrong size French fries. There's been another incident of...
Oh, no.
The cashier gave them a small French fry, not a large. The man and woman turned violent, hurling coins and plastic safety cones at cashiers. This is in a Massachusetts McDonald's.
That's wicked retarded.
Mm-hmm. A cashier who took their order told police that one of them complained of getting the wrong size fries. She gave her a large fry and handed her the change. The women exchanged words, and the cashier said the other woman threw the change at her, hitting her in the face. Jackson, her friend, then picked up a 2-foot-tall cone from a mop floor and hurled it at the cashier and another employee. In the parking lot, Jackson allegedly threw another plastic cone at the second cashier. The first cashier and the other woman fought and pulled each other's hair before the altercation ended, according
to the Republicans.
Report. And there we are.
They got their French fries. What the? Yeah, they got their freaking French fries. What's the problem?
God. McRage. The stories are everywhere. All right. Normally that's reserved for Right Wing World. Thank God Eric Bollard is here to spoon me through Right Wing World from Media Matters for America. Good morning, Eric.
Good morning.
Thanks so much for coming again.
Oh, my pleasure.
You know, you have a great piece on Media Matters. I got to talk to you before we dive into the Right Wing World. It's interesting enough what happens in Right Wing World. You document it, I document it. But the problem is they're starting to set the agenda for the rest of the media. You talked about the New York Times announced it would appoint somebody to monitor the partisan opinion media more closely after editors there were chastened for reacting too slowly to buzzworthy news.
Yeah, you know,
launched by the conservative media.
Right. After the supposedly historic Van Jones story and the Acorn story, which, if you listen to the right, is sort of, you know, Watergate plus Lindbergh babies wrapped into one. I mean, it's this defining moment not only in American history but journalism. So, you know, the right, you know, the Washington Post and New York Times have done a lot of hand wringing. Gee, you know, we're not paying enough attention to Fox News and talk radio, and so the Times has announced they're going to appoint someone internally to, you know, monitor the opinion press, and obviously in the context from where it came from, it was obviously this was spurred from, you know, the right-wing opinion press.
Because they're going to miss some buzzworthy news that's happening, and like you point out, the problem is it's buzzworthy in the right-wing, you know, blogosphere or atmosphere, but the stories are untrue.
Yeah,
you know?
And so now they have this front row seat, and the Times gets to watch the right wing blogosphere go loony like they always do. But I pointed out in the first week that, you know, the Times sort of announced that we're going to pay extra special close attention. I mean, it was just one sort of idiocy after another. I mean, it was Andrew Breitbart claiming he had this video of community organizers praying to Obama, and the second that video went up, every right wing blogger in America linked to it and mock them. You know, not only do they make fun of school children, like the way they did the week earlier when they had the nerve to sing a song in praise of the president during Black History Month, they now openly mock people as they pray. This is now the conservative value.
Well, lo and behold,
it turns out, gee, they weren't praying to Obama. They were saying, oh, God. So, oh, never mind. That smear didn't really matter.
Yeah. Oops, so, yeah, that was the...
This is the buzz that they generate.
Well, exactly. That's what I mean, Eric. It's just that's the problem with the Glenn Becks of the world are setting the agenda for the rest of the news. It's like, oh, we're going to miss some big story. It's like, well, it's only a story, you know, in the right-wing world.
Well, and the thing is, here's what the Times is not doing. If the Times is going to pay extra close attention to Fox News and talk radio and the right-wing blogosphere, then the Times has to report on all the idiocy that it generates 24/7.
Right. Well,
you can't simply cherry-pick the 1 in 55 story, you know, that actually withstands some scrutiny and becomes news and then jump on it and say, oh, we're paying attention, so we're going to write about Acorn. You know, they can't ignore the other 54 stories that were pure fiction and not treat that as news. The news is the right-wing blogosphere and the GOP noise machine just make stuff up all day long.
Right.
You know,
well, you mentioned Michelle Malkin's big scoop that 2 million people were at the 9/12 rally, and you're like, okay, so she was off by 1.93 million people, but because you know most people you go by the Park Police who said there were how
exactly.
many there? I mean, how many? I don't even remember. What 50,000?
60 or 70,000 for the September 12th rally.
Right, right. But that's the problem is, you know, the point is they make up news. That's
yeah.
The
Times ought to be, if it's going to pay attention, it ought to be telling everyone what's going on. Okay, if they're going to report on the Acorn story and the Van Jones story, that's fine. But you got to report on all the nonstop smears that just get circulated around the clock. I mean, this Kevin Jennings witch hunt.
I was just going to bring
news.
That up.
That is news. The New York, you know, the right wing is all upset. Sean Hannity's all upset the New York Times isn't covering the Kevin Jennings story. If the New York Times ever covered that story, the only angle is the witch hunt and just the massive smear, homophobic smear campaign. But the Times is playing dumb and pretending it's not going on.
Yep. Eric, that's a really good point. We've been talking about the Kevin Jennings thing a lot because it's, you know, if we cave to bullies like this, I mean, nobody will be able to serve. Because as you've seen, the right wing can do this to anybody because they don't have the benefit of the truth on their side. They just can... You know, I mean, he's been called, what, a homosexual, you know, radical, druggie. I mean, just things that are completely not based on anything in truth.
Yeah, you know, a pervert, you know, a supporter of, you know, NAMBLA, I mean, anything they can get their hands on. You know, their first claim was, you know, that he counseled this boy, you know, he was pushing statutory rape because some, you know, a 15-year-old boy sought out his counsel 20 years ago and asked him because he was in a relationship with a grown man. Well, it turns out the boy was 16, so it was a legal age of consent in Massachusetts. So that story sort of cratered, which they all do. So now they're on to, you know, another smear with him, and that will crater. And then they're on, I mean, they're just trying to drive him from office by this, you know, complete guilt by association. And I'm sorry, but, you know, in a way, I agree with Sean Hannity. It is news what Fox News is doing to Kevin Jennings, but the rest of the mainstream press, which claims it's going to pay extra close attention, you know, to what, you know, Fox News is doing, you can't ignore the crazy stuff. You have to monitor that stuff too, because
Did you join our desire on the show on Friday that we wish the president had given the Nobel Prize to Acorn just to watch Fox News completely implode?
That would have been interesting. Yes.
Yeah.
All right. Let's dive into the right wing world, shall we? Let's see what's doing today. Eric, I'm sure you were as shocked as I was that the Rush Limbaugh had no class or grace about the President of the United States winning the Nobel Peace Prize.
I don't believe this. He's not only the first post-racial president, he's also the nation's first post-accomplishment president. He has risen above incompetence. He is now judged on wishful thinking.
Oh, boy.
It's isn't it kind of fun, Eric, that we are the ones that get to ask the right wing now, why do you hate America so much?
Well, it's interesting. I mean, there's two things going on. A, you know, any civil person or sane person can raise questions about the Nobel Peace Prize. People around the world have wondered if it was too soon in his term and things like that. There's nothing wrong with having a debate about, you know, gee, this is an unusual award, to say the least. But, you know, right away the right wing, you know, The Affirmative Action Nobel Prize, which was put online. Michelle Malkin was pushing that. You know, this stuff about incompetence. So, you know, they're incapable of not having sort of a divisive hatred, you know, a hate rhetoric debate. You know, they don't want to just discuss, you know, gee, is this a good prize, is it not prize?
Yeah.
Just immediately into the hate stuff.
Well, you're exactly right. There's one thing to say, oh, maybe it's too soon. It's another to just this mean-spirited mocking that they do about everything. I mean, that's the thing to me, this just shows you between this and the Olympics, bipartisanship is dead. I mean, decency left, you know?
Yeah, exactly. It's not even bipartisanship at this point. It's just sort of this knee-jerk response. And, and the other interesting thing is to connect it to sort of what I call the Friday freakout, you know, when Chicago lost the Olympics. And, again, I mean, that was just sort of this demented celebration.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, when Obama in America loses, you know, in this case the Summer Olympics, it's good news. And when Obama America wins the Nobel Prize, it's awful news. So it's just sort of this very sort of weird, creepy,
you know,
anti-Americanism.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, Eric, you know what? I hate to say this, but that, you know, creeps to mind, you know, the uglier and uglier this gets, this celebration on the right, you know, and this talk about terrorism, I hate to say it, but the whole basis of like these 9/12 things, like remember how we all came together?
I mean,
I'm going to ask you, what do you think would happen if we got attacked? Do you think people would come together behind the president like George Bush?
No, that's a great question. That's a great point.
Can you even imagine?
It would be blame. I mean, they would be attacking Obama and basically blaming him for whatever death might occur if there was another terrorist attack in America. There's no question.
But beyond that, Eric, it almost sounds like some of them, I mean, I could, you know, give you isolated comments, but it sounds like they're rooting for it. You know,
well,
that would be a good
really
thing politically for them.
Yeah, I mean, that really is frightening, and because that would, you know, in their eyes, it would prove them correct, that, you know, that Democrats can't protect America and things like that. I mean, that is a scary thought, but I don't think it's that far out of the realm.
Eric, I hate to do this to you, but you're going to have a double serving of the drug-addled gas bag.
Fair enough. Mm-hmm.
Nobel Peace Prize just told Obama, look, we love what you're doing. You are destroying your country as a superpower. Keep it up, bud.
A man that needs that much Viagra, of course, talking about the president emasculating America. Eric,
emasculating America and all of that, destroying the country. You know, obviously there's a tiny fraction, this radical right, Obama hating, who think America is being destroyed. If you look at the polls, most people don't think so. If you look at the polls in the last week or 10 days, Obama's job approval rating has ticked back upwards. Lots of other indicators are on the upswing. So this idea that, you know, Obama is destroying America. I mean, that's the paranoid right wing, and that's that's what Limbaugh pushes every day. So from his perspective, sure, he thinks Obama. Look, these people thought Obama was destroying America, you know, 5 weeks into his first term. I mean, it's quite extraordinary.
Actually, most of them think he started in kindergarten, but that's all right. 20
well,
minutes
and,
after
you know,
the
it's
hour.
It's contradictory because they claim he doesn't do anything, but then they claim he's been destroying America every
yes.
day. So
apparently he's been good at that.
No.
20 minutes after the hour, back with more with Eric Bollert from Media Matters, co-hosting Right Wing World on The Stephanie Miller Show.
In fact, there's the distinct possibility that by the end of the day, we'll all be going to hell.
It's The Stephanie Miller Show.
The Stephanie Miller Show, 24 minutes after the hour, joined by Eric Bollert of Media Matters, co-hosting another rollicking right-wing world with me. Dana Perino, apparently, Eric, was surprised, of course, that George Bush hadn't won a Nobel Prize, and she explained why.
I don't expect that George Bush is ever going to get a Nobel Peace Prize. I think it has become a very political prize that is handed out to people who agree with the left wing of the spectrum.
Yeah, I guess they did away with that Nobel Prize for blowing up a Muslim country unnecessarily and killing lots of people.
Peace Prize?
Well, he was nominated. He and Tony Blair were nominated in 2004, and there was lots of wishful thinking on the right. And if he had won, of course, the Nobel Prize would have been the ultimate in truth-telling in international prize giving. Yes. But right. No, George Bush winning a Nobel Peace Prize, I mean, if that's the standard, if he didn't win it and that's why the folks on the right don't like it, then I guess they're not really going to like anything they do. But, yeah, I mean, look, you know, Jimmy Carter, Al Gore, you know, Barack Obama, it has become sort of this rogues gallery in terms of the right wing. I mean, these are all the people they hate and despise, and we were saying before, doing their best to destroy America. And it's also funny, you know, all day Friday, you know, the right-wing media was telling us about how ridiculous and laughable and insignificant the Nobel Prize is, and then they spent all day talking about it. So
yeah.
It obviously got under their skin in a very quick way.
Yes, exactly. As Steve Birnbaum on the Britt Baer Show said.
This diminishes the value of one of the world's most important awards, I think, that had been won by Martin Luther King Jr. and Gandhi.
And Henry Kissinger.
But what this is a material sigh of relief from Western Europe that Barack Obama is not George Bush.
Western Europe, the communist.
Well, look, I mean, if you are, you know, the perspective from the rest of the world, you know, the United States is the most important, influential, and powerful country in the world, now has a foreign policy where Barack Obama wants to reach out to Muslim countries. Barack Obama talks openly in terms of a world without nuclear arms. They see that as a very big deal. They see that as a radical change, and they see that, you know, as a peaceful change. So, you know, I understand why, you know, the Beltway and the right wing sort of laughed at the prize. But if you look at it from the context of the rest of the world, where the United States for the last 8 years was this very, you know, strange and dangerous and sort of out of control foreign policy.
And this is a huge deal
in terms of peace.
Well, yeah, and here's the deal too in terms of fighting terrorism. We need the cooperation of the rest of the world. So, you know, I would prefer that they think well of our president than not. Charles Krauthammer on the Britt Baer Show.
The award is a farce. What's he done? Woodrow Wilson had done the Treaty of Versailles and the League of Nations. Teddy Roosevelt had ended the Russo-Japanese War. Obama got it for his general splendidness and for the kind of fuzzy internationalism in which he offers engagement and bending a knee to the United Nations. They love that in Norway, but the reason Americans are stunned is because that is not what a president here is elected to do for his own country.
And Henry Kissinger won for expanding the Vietnam War and overthrowing the democratically elected government of Chile. But, you know, other than that.
They don't like that fuzziness internationally.
Oh, no. We got to be bombing folks. You know, the difference is, again, with Krauthammer, it's not this is unusual, this is surprising, I don't agree with it. This is an insult to America, and this is awful. And really, the unfortunate part, I thought, was the mainstream press seeped all this in. And by Friday afternoon, the talking point was, this is bad news for Obama. Boy, this couldn't have come at a worse time for Obama. This is really going
to
complicate
things. It's a bad thing now to win the Nobel Prize. Make sure you tell your kids that. Eric Bowler from Media Matters for America. Thank you, Eric.
I'll talk to you soon.
All right, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
Oh, now if I really like it, dude, I'll stop texting while we do it.
But I will never stop tweeting now that I've started.
That's right.
The Stephanie Miller Show. Tweet me, won't you?
At SM Show. That's SM Show.
Thank you. Yes. 33 minutes after the hour.
Not S&M. Yes. Very important to point out.
Step 1, 2,
it's
the phone.
It's an entirely different website. Don't ask me how I know.
Toll free from anywhere. All right. We just finished up a right-wing world with Eric Bollert of Media Matters, where it was just a general booing and hissing of the Nobel Peace Prize and general anti-American dreck.
Claptrap.
Exactly. You know who was very gracious about it? Al Gore. He's a former Nobel winner. He said the win was extremely well-deserved and an honor for the country. He, of course, shared the Nobel in 2007 for his work on global warming. He specifically cited Obama's United Nations speech on abolishing nuclear weapons, his shifting of the missile defense program in Eastern Europe and Russia, joining with the United States and other countries to confront Iran on nuclear nonproliferation.
Nonproliferation. Mm-hmm. Nuclear nonproliferation.
That's a humdinger.
Mm. At least it wasn't in Islamabad.
Secretary of State Hillary Clinton says she thinks President Obama was awarded the Nobel Prize because he projects the image of a more cooperative America in world affairs. And she and her husband were both delighted both that he won the presidency and the Nobel Prize.
Because she just didn't want it enough.
Clinton answered no and asked on the Today Show if she would ever run for president again. No. And she denied that she has been marginalized in administration policymaking. She said that's absurd. She couldn't be more delighted that he won. And so is Bill. Okay.
Yeah, but I'm sure Bill isn't very happy either.
I am delighted. More than I can express.
Oh, heavens, to be a fly on the wall. Okay.
Did you find your cough button?
No, I don't have one.
Oh, it sounded like you turned your microphone off.
Oh, I actually have to just reach around and turn it off entirely.
Oh, okay.
Because, as you know, I don't travel with my box ever since that incident in Columbus. Okay.
Yeah.
We don't talk about anymore.
The less said about that, the better.
Did Tommy have something to do with it?
No. All right. So, anyway, the right wing uniformly what can you even call it? Just gross about the president winning. Not even a moment of congratulations or whatever. I love this one. Newt Gingrich was also bitching that, furthermore, Obama doesn't even have an ambassador to Brazil yet. He said bureaucracies just don't work. We still don't have an ambassador to Brazil, for example, 8 months into the new administration. And for this, he might want to speak to Republican Senator Jim DeMint, who has been the one blocking our our ambassador to Brazil. I think we have a nudie somewhere here.
Frankly, I think it's appalling that the president doesn't yet have an ambassador to Brazil. That's, frankly, why he lost the Olympics to Rio, frankly. The Olympic Committee realized how arrogant the Obama administration has been, frankly, in barring the appointment of an ambassador to Brazil. That they gave the Olympics to Brazil. Now, lefty commie liberal hand-wringers will cravenly point out that Republican Jim DeMint has been blocking that appointment, frankly. But all Obama has to do to lift the block is to accede to Jim's blackmail request that the Obama recognize the legitimacy of the right-wing coup that installed the current government of Honduras, frankly. And also they recognize that John McCain won last year's election in a landslide, and then Jim DeMint will graciously allow the appointment of the Brazilian ambassador, frankly. The hell he will. Republicans regard that kind of concession as a sign of weakness and an invitation to club the weak sister conciliatory peacenik loser like a baby harp seal, frankly. So, frankly, the best thing Obama can do is ignore us and do what he wants. Did I say all that out loud? That may have been a mistake, frankly.
Yeah.
Thank you, Nudie. Oh, by the way, did you see that porn company has named Gingrich the Family Values Porn Fan of the Year?
Ah! Oh!
So it's not like nobody on the right is winning an award.
No wonder he's a little touchy. Maybe that's what Roger Hedgehog won.
Cock.
Excuse me?
What?
Roger Hedgecock.
Oh, I thought you were just saying cock for no reason.
Yeah.
No.
Or, no, it wasn't Roger.
I'm normally the one that gets that wrong.
It wasn't Roger. Oh, it was that. Who was it?
Everything's all cattywampus with me in New York and you in L.A.
Yeah.
That was backwards.
That prize-winning writer.
It's Bizarro World.
Who's that?
That prize-winning writer, was it in Newsmax? He just won a prize? They didn't say what prize he won?
That's what you get with Cracker Jacks.
Yeah. What's his name?
That guy. Roger Hedgehog.
That guy from that place.
I see. I got it.
Yeah. Time.
Anyway, Newt Gingrich's corporate-friendly advocacy. They advocate for things.
Okay. Thanks.
American Solutions for Winning the Future, they have a propensity, as you know, for telling porn companies they've received an award and then retracting them. Allison Vivas, the president of Pink Visual, Jim, I'm sure one of you. Turned
Who
the tables on Newt.
Out?
She created a fake award. She said, I sat down with the executive team here and created a special honor to bestow upon Newt, Family Values Porn Fan of the Year 2009. We worked on the plaque design, an event schedule, a notification of Fax's office, and, of course, a letter we'll send rescinding the offer after he receives it. They're fun. They have a sense of humor at the porn company. I love that. All right. So the right wing, of course, booing the president not just on winning the Nobel Prize, but on the decision he hasn't even made yet on Afghanistan, which they're sure will be wrong, according to Charles Krauthammer.
It's really difficult to understand and really troubling is the way Obama is agonizing over all of this in public. You know, he is the commander in chief. He's not Hamlet. And you sure know how Hamlet ends. Sure.
What? What?
How does Hamlet end?
Well, he dies.
Oh, he dies.
In a duel with the sword unbated and envenomed.
I think I only read the Cliff Notes in high school.
Oh,
I didn't actually...
you dope.
What?
Anyway.
Sorry.
For God's sakes, he was macho enough to blow up the moon last week. What? Aren't they happy with that? We shot the moon, Jim. I don't know.
Did it shoot back?
No.
We have the technology. The time is now. Science can wait no longer. America can, should, must, and will blow up the moon. And we'll be doing it during a full moon, so we make sure we get it off.
Ever do to us? Ooh. Oh, that's right. It once hit your eye like a big pizza pie, Jim. That's what it did.
Blowing up the moon fever has gripped the entire country, including the president himself.
I want it done by the end of this year. I want it done by the fall.
A pair of NASA spacecraft smashed into the moon at twice the speed of a bullet.
This rocket weighs as much as an SUV. So we all like the moon. We look at it at night, but we are about to hit it with quite the double impact.
And Buzz Aldrin, what are you going to be thinking as that happens? What are you most interested in seeing?
Well, I've been saying we should do this for years. I walked on the moon. I did a push-up, ate an egg on it. What else can you do with it?
What?
Wow.
Thank you, listener Ken in Cleveland.
He ate an egg on the moon. I don't mean it's really on the surface of. He didn't eat it off the surface of.
No.
I'm
not
sure
that clean.
He ate it in the limb.
I'm sure there were those powdered
eggs.
Those
yeah.
Powdered freeze-dried eggs, yes. That you can get at the Air and Space Museum in D.C.
Exactly.
Uh-huh.
Well, you put quotations or marks around egg.
It was the powdered egg and a tang combination.
Yeah.
The, yes.
And that freeze-dried ice cream.
Mm-hmm. All right.
You know what they're speculating on the internets, though?
What?
That we really blew up that crater to destroy evidence of alien structures on the moon. You see? So that's what
the whole
water
speculating
thing
that?
Is. It's people on the internet. So it must be true.
So it must be true.
Yeah. Yeah. No, they found one of those 2001 Space
yes,
Odyssey.
Yes, the monolith.
We hit a monolith. We had to blow it up.
All right. Speaking of the Afghanistan debate, Cheryl writes, Steph, every time I hear McCain trying to push President Obama into increasing troops in Afghanistan, I hear voices in my head. I hear Betty Davis and Whatever Happened to Baby Jane saying, but you didn't win, Blanche, you didn't. Not to mention that that you have been wrong on everything when it comes to Iraq and Afghanistan, which, by the way, will be the subject of, I guess, the quote when we return, Jim. And the hint is... it's the thing that I read in its entirety every Monday because I drank all weekend and I'm not prepared today.
Thing to read on Monday.
Maybe she actually read it out of this very newspaper because she is in New York.
Oh, that's getting really hinty now.
I know, right? Monday.
Best ever on the subject of Afghanistan when we continue 42 minutes after the hour. We can all play Guess the Quote. You can play the home Guess the Quote, the home game, if you'd like.
Hooray!
42 minutes after the hour, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Makes me sick in a wonderful, wonderful way.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show, 47 minutes after the hour. The Rude Pundit coming up live in studio in just a few minutes. Actor Tim Robbins coming up as well next hour. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. P.J. Crowley, State Department spokesman on Friday about Afghanistan.
To the extent that Afghanistan wishes to engage in some kind of political process in the future that tries to peel away support for the insurgency, we think that's part of a very effective a long-term counterinsurgency strategy.
Chris, I also had an opportunity on the plane to read the entire Inside the Mind of the Taliban.
They went magazine. Inside the Mind of the Taliban.
That'd be a short article.
Thank you, Jim. All right. Senator John McCain about the Afghanistan.
I think the great danger now is not an American pullout. I think the great danger now is a half measure, try to please all ends of the political spectrum.
And we should listen to him because, it's time for Guess the Quote, Jim.
Mm. Oh,
okay. Uh-huh. Yes, this is a very, very apropos Guess the Quote today. Who said, perhaps the most surreal aspect of our great Afghanistan debate is the beltway credence given to the ravings of the unrepentant blunderers who dug us into this hole in the first place. Let's be clear, those who demanded that America divert its troops and treasure from Afghanistan to Iraq in 2002 and 2003, when there was no Qaeda presence in Iraq, bear responsibility for the chaos in Afghanistan that ensued. Who said that?
Annette Funicello.
Wow.
Particularly bad guess. Frank Rich in the best column ever yesterday in the New York Times
on Monday.
Two wrongs. I get it now. Okay. Who said, now they have the nerve to imperiously and tardily demand that America increase its 68,000-strong presence in Afghanistan to clean up their mess, even though the number of Qaeda insurgents there has dwindled to fewer than 100, according to the president's national security advisor, General James Jones. Who said that?
Britney Spears.
No, that wrong. Frank Rich in the New York Times. One more. Who said, but why let facts get in the way? Just as these hawks insisted that Iraq was the central front in the war on terror when the central front was Afghanistan, so they insist that Afghanistan is the central front now that it has migrated to Pakistan. Who said that?
Darlene Gillespie.
No.
Wow.
Cubby O'Brien?
Frank Rich.
Those were all members of the Mickey Mouse Club, by the way.
Yeah.
Can I have my fine American music, please? I won't read the whole thing. You should do that yourself. It's entitled Two Wrongs Make Another Fiasco. But seriously, Chris, you'd heard about it over the weekend, right? That just one of the clearest thinking things I've read about Afghanistan.
Mm-hmm. That's why he's a prize-winning writer for the New York Times.
New York
and
Times on
he wins
Monday.
Real prizes, unlike the Newsmax writers.
Right.
Peanuts and a prize, that's what you get in Cracker Jacks.
But every time I see, probably he does the Senator McCain's on TV over the weekend, I'm just like, what? Why are we listening to him? This is what Frank Rich writes about. But you have to go back to remember all the things John McCain has said wrong every single time, which is why he lost in a landslide. But that's another story for another day. Frank Rich writes, to appreciate this crowd's spotless record of failure, consider its noisiest standard bearer, John McCain. He made every wrong judgment call that could be made after 9/11. It's not just that he echoed the Bush administration's constant innuendos that Iraq collaborated with al-Qaeda's attack on America, or that he hyped the faulty WND evidence to the hysterical extreme of fingering Iraq for the anthrax attacks in Washington, or that he promised we'd win the Iraq war, quote-unquote, easily, or that he predicted that Sunnis and Shiites would, quote, probably get along in post-Saddam Iraq because quote, there was not a history of clashes between them.
Huh?
I mean, does anyone call him on this crap on these TV shows?
They need to.
What's more mortifying still is that McCain was just as wrong about Afghanistan and Pakistan. He routinely minimized or dismissed the growing threats in both countries over the past 6 years, lest they draw American resources away from his pet crusade in Iraq. 2 years after 9/11, he was claiming we could, in the long term, somehow, quote-unquote, muddle through in Afghanistan. He now has the chutzpah to accuse President Obama of wanting to, wait for it,
muddle through
there.
In Afghanistan, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Seriously, but that's the thing, Jim. Where's the liberal media? Why don't they go, well, that's interesting, Senator, because that's the exact same thing you said.
Because we are the liberal media. That's
I guess that's it. Even after the insurgency accelerated in Afghanistan in 2005, McCain was still bragging about the, quote, remarkable success of that prematurely abandoned war. As McCain gave, as presidential candidate in the summer of 2008, he cared so little about Afghanistan, it didn't even merit a mention among the national security planks on his campaign website.
Huh.
He takes no responsibility for any of this. Asked by Katie Kirk last week about our failures in Afghanistan, McCain spoke about it as if he were an innocent bystander. I think the reason why we didn't do a better job on Afghanistan is our attention, either rightly or wrongly, was on Iraq. As Tonto says to the Lone Ranger, what do you mean we, white man? Oh, pardon me. Along with his tribunes in Congress and the punditocracy, wrong way McCain still presumes to give America its marching orders. With his Senate brethren in the Three Amigos, Joe Lieberman and Lindsey Graham, he took to the Wall Street Journal's op-ed page to assert that we have no choice but to go all in on Afghanistan, rightly or wrongly, presumably, just as we had in Iraq. Why? The U.S. walked away from Afghanistan once before following the Soviet collapse, they wrote. The result was 9/11. We must not make that mistake again. This shameless argument assumes, perhaps correctly, that no one in this country remembers anything.
Yeah.
So let me provide a reminder. We already did make that mistake again when we walked away from Afghanistan to invade Iraq in 2003, and we did so at the Three Amigos emerging.
Yeah.
Urging. Then, too, they promoted their strategy as a way of preventing another 9/11, even though no one culpable for 9/11 was in Iraq. Now we're being asked to pay for their mistake by squandering stretched American resources in yet another country where al-Qaeda has large vanished. Chris, had you read that statistic? That 100. There's less than 100 al-Qaeda in Afghanistan now.
That's amazing. So, I mean, why are we even there?
Yeah, and Frank Rich writes a funny thing about that, that once, you know, now that we know it's migrated to Pakistan, he says the day comes for them to say Pakistan's the central front, that'll be proof that al-Qaeda's in Somalia or Yemen or somewhere else.
Yeah, means we have to attack India.
I think whatever John McCain says, we should just do the opposite. That's essentially what we should do. To make the case, the Amigos and their fellow travelers conflate the Taliban with al-Qaeda as much as they long conflated Saddam's regime with al-Qaeda. American intelligence officials now say that there are few, if any, links between Taliban commanders in Afghanistan today and senior al-Qaeda members, a far cry from the Taliban bin Laden alliance of 2001. So this is one of the point I've been making, isn't it? I would rather have a president that is really thinking through all this stuff, that knows the difference between Sunnis and Shiites, that knows the difference between al-Qaeda and the Taliban and what the current intelligence is, and you know, is thinking about a strategy, right? Rather than... Anyway... Frank Rich concludes, we must win in Afghanistan, but victory is left vaguely defined.
Yeah.
That's because we will never build a functioning state in a country where there never has been one, nor can we score a victory against the world's dispersed stateless terrorists by getting bogged down in a hellish landscape that contains few of them, which is, once again, why I think it's great, for nothing else, for American security, that the president won the Nobel Prize, that he has... You know, the attention of the world, he has the cooperation of the rest of the world. That's where the terrorists are, as he said, everywhere. They're everywhere. They're not, you know, just, they're not centered just in Afghanistan.
Right.
Anyway, preemptively railing against the prospect of half measures by Obama, Lieberman asked MSNBC's Andrea Mitchell rhetorically last week whether it would be a real counterinsurgency or a counterinsurgency light. Well, here's a little fun fact for you, Jim. You know a lot about Vietnam. Some 535,000 American troops couldn't achieve a successful counterinsurgency in South Vietnam, which had half Afghanistan's population and just over a quarter of its land area.
Yep.
So what Frank Rich's point is, we don't have nearly the numbers to achieve what you know, people like Lieberman and McCain are saying we need to achieve anyway. It's ridiculous. For his part, McCain likes to justify McChrystal's number of 40,000 by imbuing it with the supposedly magical powers of the surge in Iraq, but it's rewriting history to say that the surge brought victory to Iraq. What it did was staunch the catastrophic bleeding in an unnecessary war McCain had helped to gin up. Lest anyone forget, we still don't know who was won in Iraq.
Yeah.
Anyway, all right. I just said I wasn't going to read the whole thing, and I did almost. He finishes up.
There's more.
While McCain and company remain frozen where they were in 2001, many of their fellow citizens have learned from the Iraq tragedy. Polls persistently find the country is skeptical about what should and can be accomplished in Afghanistan. They voted for Obama not least because they wanted a new post-11 vision of national security, and they will not again be so easily bullied by the blustering hawks doomsday scenarios. That gives our deliberating president both the time and the political space to get this long war's second act right. Frank Rich.
Yeah, unless we can resurrect Alexander the Great.
Yeah.
Afghanistan's a lost cause. I just think we should airlift anyone with a vagina out of Afghanistan.
Man for that job.
Yeah,
you and Squeezy McFeel pants.
Then Taliban will kill each other to get to those 72 virgins in heaven, you know, so... That would solve a lot of problems.
I can see Jim with his bullhorn. Anyone with a vagina, get in the chopper.
Come on, let's go.
Get in
the
chopper.
What it would be, you know what it would be? It would be the Squeezy McFeel pants version of the Bill Clinton rescuing the two hot journalists from North Korea. We would send you to rescue anything with a vagina in Afghanistan.
My.
We'd send a great big party plane, Jim. Anyway, that should be required reading. Two Wrongs Make Another Fiasco by Frank Rich yesterday in the New York Times.
You have the New York Times there. You didn't print this out from the computer, did you?
No, you could see how much crinkly noise it made.
Yeah, that's wow. Yeah,
that's a really crinkly computer.
I usually don't get my hands dirty working, but today I did. 57 minutes after the hour, the Rude Pundit live in studio with me next on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Mama in New York, the Mooks, back in L.A. where they belong. StephanieMiller.com, the website.
Hey!
Here's the really important news this morning. Associate producer Rebecca Baker is back.
Yay!
Oh, thank God she's back from vacation.
Rebecca,
these incompetent boobs, I don't even know how the show has stayed on the air while you've been gone.
I know. I like to call them tools. Not
exactly. Exactly. There's been, just so you know, to bring you up to date, there's been some misprints on the show prep sheet. Like one day, Chris wrote that Iran has launched a missile that can hit Iran, which changes the whole tenor of the news. So thank God you're back.
Yeah, because I spell so much better than Chris.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And also, I had to fill in your absence. You are, of course, as you know, the official Ross Perot imitator of the Stephanie Miller Show. Mike from Beaver Dam, Wisconsin, who I met in Madison Saturday night. He requested the. He said, "I would really like to hear Jim as Orly Tate's debate Rebecca as Ross Perot." And so I had to do that in your absence. I apologize, but here now is the real thing.
Now I got a pie chart over here. Can I finish?
You have pie chart. I have pie chart.
Can I finish?
His actual pie made of borscht.
Can I finish?
Let me finish.
Can
I finish first.
Finish?
You'll be done. She finished.
Can I finish?
I'll give you root canal without anesthesia.
Okay, everything's right with the world. Thank you, Rebecca.
You're welcome.
Everything's right with the world again. The real Ross Perot impersonator is back. Thank
oh, my God.
God. Oh.
Now, Orly Tate has fallen off the radar screen. Has she gone back to Moldova?
Listen, even people dying doesn't stop us from continuing to do the impression.
Right.
All right. So, Mama is in New York. Chris, I realize that my lack of technological ability, mm-hmm. it is genetic.
Uh-oh, why?
Because I was talking to my big sister yesterday, and I was explaining to her that I'm doing the show from New York this week.
Yeah.
And she's like, I don't understand. Stand. The show's in L.A. I'm like, well, yes.
Yes.
That's where I normally do the show from. Yes, but how do you, what, and I'm like, well,
so they have
I'm
microphones
not in Seattle or
in New York,
San Francisco or Buffalo either, but they can hear me there, too. You see, there's a microphone that you speak into.
And it comes out here.
You know what? It's kind of like my mom. She still doesn't understand how a fax machine works. She doesn't understand how the words go through the telephone line.
Oh, my God. It was an hour discussion. Okay, but then what the boys...
How did they
I'm like, yes, they're in L.A. where they normally are. You see, there's
but
things,
you can talk
wires
at the same
and satellites.
Time?
Exactly. You're still on the and same show at the same time.
But the show is there. How can you be here? Hmm.
Yeah, Jim, you remember when you had to explain time zones to people that didn't understand.
In the United States,
it could actually be a different time.
A little different time in zones.
It could be actually a different time where you are.
When
however,
you say 14 minutes past the hour, it would be a different hour in Los Angeles than it is in New York.
We have that time zone lesson if you want.
We do.
Yes.
Oh, I think we should review. Yes, thank
okay.
you.
When listening to radio broadcasts in the United States, one will often hear broadcasters give time checks. For example, one might hear references to the top of the hour, or the world is on fire, dogs are sleeping with cats, it's a crisis of biblical proportions, 17 after. Some listeners might be confused by the lack of specificity. Why not say 11:17, for instance? It may have escaped your attention that the United States has 9 different time zones. Atlantic Standard Time, Eastern Standard Time, Central Standard Time, Mountain Standard Time, Pacific Standard Time, Alaskan Standard Time, Hawaii Aleutian Standard Time, Samoa Standard Time, referred to as ZTC 11, no one knows why, and Chamorro, not a Mexican dessert, Standard Time. And don't get me started on daylight savings times, which is observed inconsistently in all 9 time zones for different durations or not at all. To further complicate matters, if one is listening on a so-called podcast, one can listen at the time of one's own choosing, making time checks irrelevant. If you really want to know what time it is, get a freaking watch.
And some AV guy to fix that projector.
Yeah.
Yeah. Here's what I love is I think my sister thinks that I go from city to city. That's how I'm heard, you know, and like my commercial breaks are really that long. That
oh,
I
so you fly
from
another
to
city.
Chicago to,
oh,
yes.
Okay.
Wow. Yes. Mm-hmm. She doesn't seem to understand how I'm heard in other places that I'm not actually in physically.
Oh, no. So you're a trans-dimensional being. You can
yes.
zip from
I,
one end of the universe to the other in a nanosecond.
Exactly. You know, in fact, I broke the time-space continuum. I was in Madison, Wisconsin just Saturday night.
That's right.
For the big...
Wow.
Oh, you know, those commie, homo-loving Satan worshippers, they are the most fun ever. We had a great time. Bill Press and I had an event in Madison, and Jim, you've been there.
Did they play you with beer?
They start drinking beer at 8 in the morning, yes. For God's sakes. They are nothing
literally.
But fun.
They were literally drinking beer at 8 o'clock in the morning.
Who doesn't?
When we did our show from
on
there.
On your cornflakes.
Because...
Uh-oh. Oh,
boy. Mama still has a little bit of the...
And Mama doesn't have a cough button.
See, we have something
Mama
here at radio called a cough
her,
button.
Box.
You
ever
press
since
the cough
that one incident in Madison.
But,
yes.
You know, the day that she really needs a cough button, she has a horrendous cough.
No, that's, exactly.
Isn't
exactly.
that
there
ironic?
There is a swine flu button, ironically, Jim, but I don't need that. Madison was, it's just, what can you say about it? It's the best time ever. You want to hear my, here's my big, because you know how I write the jokes on the Chardonnay soaked napkin on the plane?
Uh-huh.
All right, get my comedy music ready.
Okay.
So I was talking about healthcare, and I said the Blue Dog Democrats, you know, because they sort of teased us by giving us a majority politically, but they're not really satisfying us politically. I think we should change their name to the Blue Ball Democrats.
Hey.
Oh,
jeez. Oh no.
Oh boy. Could be a long show.
Yeah.
No, oh, I'll be fine. I'll
It'll
be fine.
Be the same length. Just half of it will be coughing.
But I was, as I normally do, I was defending the president because, first of all, he's doing fine. He's not even a citizen, for the love of God. He's from, for a Kenyan, he's doing really. But here's what I compared it to, Jim, and you would understand. That's a lot of, for like 8 months for a president, that's like being in bed with a person for what, like 8 seconds. That's a lot of pressure, isn't it? Can you imagine? You're going too slow. No, you're doing that. Going too fast. You're doing, no, get
too
out.
Too slow, too fast. No,
get out.
No, you're doing it wrong.
All right, that was my little routine, Jim. My little skitch.
Your skitch. Oh no.
Oh,
yeah,
boy.
This is. I got. It was a little cold in Madison. Mama's little dreck got a little worse.
Oh yeah, and you were wearing like cycling show. You know,
she had a long sleeve T-shirt on.
Uh-huh. I was wearing
and open toed shoes.
My Bill Press thong, like I normally do.
Oh.
I remember in D.C. that first time you wore open toed shoes in the snow.
Who knew there'd be a snowstorm?
You're from,
well, you know why? It was George Bush's inauguration. Hell had actually frozen
yeah,
over.
That's true.
And we knew.
But, Stephanie, you're from Buffalo. Mm-hmm. You know from snow.
I know, but I've lived in L.A. a long time, and it's...
Oh, my God, I have to wear a jacket?
Yeah.
That sucks.
Yeah, I told you our one friend that works on our show, remember the one time we had to go back east, and she's actually from L.A.? There's actually people from L.A.?
Yeah, I know.
And she was like, she goes, where... You have to bring gloves. Where do you even get gloves? People in L.A. befuddled by the whole notion
what?
Of gloves. Anyway, so but here's the thing. I have advanced in leaps and bounds, haven't I, Chris? I've been tweeting my ass off over the weekend.
Yes, you have.
I tweeted about Madison.
Yeah.
I got you pictures. We
yes.
got them up on the StephanieMiller.com. Where would you find those?
In the gallery section of StephanieMiller.com, or just look for the link in Steph's Twitter feed, SM Show.
Yes. In fact, Margaret writes, Steph and the Mooks, thanks for coming to Madison. I hope you didn't get too squished during the extended beer-powered photo op with the crowd of Steph groupies afterwards. They certainly had you backed in the corner, so you had no choice. You had to hug your way out. We did, in fact, have to hug it out, bitch, in Madison. That's my strategy. I hug my way out of the the little group hug. In this one, Peg writes, Steph, here's a picture of Mama and Connor, definitely the youngest attendant Saturday
Aww.
Night. He is definitely in love. Oh, I don't mean that in a Roman Polanski way, Connor. Can you please put him through college? No, Peg. We couldn't put a picture up at StephanieMiller.com. We hope is just as big an honor for Connor. But anyway, thank you, Aunt Madison. Everybody came out. We had a fabulous time. We're doing it again in Chicago, I believe, December 5th. So as soon as we have more details about that.
It's moved again.
Did I say it was a different time?
You said it might be in November.
Was I drunk?
I don't know.
I think it's in December now.
Okay, then.
As soon as we find out more, we will let you know.
December in Chicago, just so this cough can get even worse.
So although
Obama can get even phlegmier.
Christmas time in Chicago is a beautiful, beautiful time.
Oh, it's I can't wait.
Oh, no. Oh, jeez.
I'm fine. All right. Speaking of technology, Julie in Seattle writes, Steph, at $1.99, this could be Mama's thrifty, really terrible recession of 2009 Christmas present for the mook with the iPhone fetish. That would be you, Chris.
Uh-huh.
And also, you're a right-wing tool, so this is...
Hey!
So here are the fun facts about your Christmas gift, which I'm spoiling the surprise now. It's the Conservative Talking Points iPhone app. Which you don't even need, being a right-wing tool by trade. By trade.
Yeah.
It provides users with 250 talking points on everything from America, the greatest nation ever, to out-of-control spending, to Acorn, to private industries taking over, see fascism in America. Glenn. Be armed with the Conservative Talking Points iPhone app as your powerful arsenal to debate those emotional and ill-prepared liberals. The kicker, in September, Apple actually rejected iSinglePayer, a liberal iPhone app providing stats on single-payer health care, allegedly because the application was, quote, politically charged.
Yeah.
Apple has since approved the iSinglePayer app. All right.
Yeah, we're emotionally charged, and they're only logical, like equating liberals with fascism. Yes.
You lie!
A political science class?
Yeah,
any
exactly.
History, maybe?
You lie!
Crack
you
a book?
Lie!
Yeah, they're very very even. As they were, Jim, as they would expect, they were unbelievably gracious about the president winning the Nobel Prize.
Uh-huh.
Not! Oh, hey, wait, can I have my Guess the Quote music? Here's
sure.
What else our right-wing friends were up to over the weekend, Jim. I don't know if you heard about this, but right-wing comedy. Oh, my gosh. Who said, on what planet exactly is it considered a joke to shoot at a target representing a sitting U.S. congresswoman who happens to be a mother of three and a breast cancer survivor? To what audience is that a knee slapper, really? Who said that?
Norman Fell.
Oh, good guess. Kyle Munzenreeder. The Miami New Times writing about the... unfortunate incident involving our good friend, Congresswoman Debbie Wasserman Schultz. Who's the guy that's going to be her opponent? They had this event, Chris, with guns where they shot at
a target with her picture on it.
Yeah.
That's funny. Wow. What? You took offense to that?
Yeah.
What?
What is she? Some
hypersensitive bitch.
Nutbag?
What the? So it happens all the time.
Your kids will think it's
shooting
funny.
Shooting people in effigy.
Mm-hmm. All right. And by the way, we have a big, big, big show. Next hour, Eric Bollert from Media Matters for America going to host a really, really, really vomitous right-wing world next hour with us. Also, Rude Pundit will be with me live in studio here in hour three, and also actor Tim Robbins.
Hey, hooray!
Yes! So we have a lot to get to, but as we predicted on Friday, the right wing did, in fact, explode entirely over the Nobel Peace Prize.
The Norwegian Nobel Committee has decided that the Nobel Peace Prize is to be awarded to President Barack Obama.
But Beyonce had one of the best videos of all time.
Thank you so much for giving me a chance to win.
But
Beyonce had one of the best videos of all time.
Thank you, Shano. All right, 20 minutes after the hour, back with more reaction and the president's thoughts on winning the Nobel Peace Prize on Friday as we continue on the Stephanie Miller Show.
You can't turn her off. Not in the middle of turning her on. It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show, Mama in New York City, the MOOCs back in L.A. We will be joined by Eric Bollert from Media Matters for a right-wing world coming up next hour, then Tim Robbins and also Rude Pundit in hour number three. What a show. What a big show.
Yeah.
I'm staying in, you know, the guy that owns the show that's trying to kill me for the life insurance money?
Yes.
Yes, we know him well.
Yes.
Because he signs the checks.
I am staying, like last time, in his cavernous apartment in here in Manhattan. It's like it's the Home Alone apartment. He and his wife went out to dinner last night, and it was Home Alone. I had to hit Joe Pesci with an anvil. And it was really a long night.
And did you have to swing a paint can on a rope at Daniel Stern?
Yes. And how do you even find
who
a
hasn't
paint can
that?
On a rope?
Yeah.
Such short notice.
And who can find Daniel Stern anymore?
Exactly.
All right. So, at any rate, we were talking about, we're like the psychic radio show at this point. We said on Friday, the right wing will implode entirely over the Nobel Peace Prize. And they did. They did not disappoint, did they, Chris?
No, they didn't.
The drug-addled gas bag. What's my friends? I said we're the laughing stock of the world now. It was great because it was right after he had said the world rejected Obama with the Olympic bid.
Right.
Yeah. And now that they're accepting Obama.
The world rejected him entirely.
The world accepted him entirely. That's my point. Screw the world.
I mean, at least now they're not even trying to hide that they are actively rooting against America. They literally, here's the thing we've been waiting for on the left for years, is now we can say, why are you with the terrorists?
Yeah,
yeah, exactly.
Because literally, you couldn't tell the difference between the statements of the Rush Limbaugh, Michael Steele, Hamas, and the Taliban. Who all thought it was, literally, we can finally say, why do you hate America so much? Why? A president of the United States wins the Nobel Peace Prize. It should be a proud moment, I would think, for any of us.
Sure.
But no.
Yes, but they're Christian religious zealots, so that makes it different.
Mm. Did you see, Jim, that
Muslims
boob,
like the president?
Michael Steele releases a statement before the president even has a chance to speak and accept his
This
award.
Is how I roll, baby.
Yeah, that's how he rolls. Isn't that classy? Classy with a K over there. I mean, look at the headlines this weekend. GOP mocks Obama's Peace Prize. Russians praise it. You know, it's like, while Russia's president congratulated President Obama, yeah, do you think you could even take 1 second of decency to just say congratulations, fellow American? No.
That's what Democrats do when there's a Republican president. Because they're decent people for the most part.
And at least John McCain said this weekend, you know what, it's a proud
John
moment.
McCain.
It's a proud moment for America. Congratulations.
The old John McCain is back.
Yes.
So the one who appreciates Teddy
Roosevelt.
Much
like the new Coke, the new John McCain didn't work out so well. Republicans see the award as so outrageous, they're using it to raise campaign money. Obama won the prize for awesomeness, said the mocking GOP fundraising letter. This is what they're fundraising on now. Asshats like Joe Wilson yelling you lie at the president. And this, turning it into a bad thing to raise money. Obama's honor shows how meaningless a once honorable and respected award has become, said the letter signed by Michael Steele. Literally, before the president even got a chance to speak. I mean, Russian President Dmitry Medvedev...
Close enough.
Had a different view. He said the award will encourage further U.S.-Russian cooperation. Kind of important in today and age.
So, Dmitry Medvedev is a better American than Michael Medved.
Apparently.
Yeah. Yes.
I hope. Ironically, they're both indecipherable, but still. You know, I once, Chris, you remember this. I once had to debate Michael Medved on TV about Medvedev.
Yes, you did.
That was confusing. For someone with pronunciation difficulty as it is, that was. I'll be on the Ed Show, by the way, tomorrow and Thursday. I'm off and on with Medved. So we will be back with more.
Stephanie Miller.
Up here, I'm 48. Below the belt, I'm 19.
Wow.
Yeah. Wow.
You know, they know how to treat a girl here in New York, Chris.
Why?
This is the kind of thing I expect. I just peek my head out of the studio, and I ask for water, and I have like 14 glasses now.
Really?
Yeah, I ask for something in L.A., and you guys just tell me to screw off. I don't get nothing.
Water. I gave them the gasoline.
Wow.
There's like water everywhere now.
They'll learn.
That's what I like to see.
They'll learn by the end of the week.
Whatever. 33 minutes after the hour, the Dow is up 21 points. 1-800-STEPH-12, the phone number toll free from anywhere. Here's an interesting thing. Not only do I not have to be in the same place as the Mooks, but you can talk to me from anywhere almost.
Oh, my God.
And I can still hear you. All right. So we're learning the wonders of modern technology. Stephanie in Madison, where I just was Saturday night.
Oh, my God. What a show, Mama. It was
we
awesome.
Rocked the Barrymore. Did we
oh,
not?
You did. And I had, like, two beers, so I was like, woo! I was, like, sounded like, you know, I was out of it. So sorry about that, because I was just... It was nuts, and I hope your nun makes it through your busy travel.
Thank you. You gave me a nun doll. Thank you.
Yes, and I lost her ruler in some drunken as I was walking over to you, so I apologize for that.
How dare
but,
you.
Yes, we did back you in the corner.
Why would you think I'd want a Catholic school flashback? That's what I
don't know. You need to remember, I think.
No, I don't.
Your upbringing, damn it. Anyway, but, yeah, it was a great show. You were... hilarious.
And potty mouth, was I not?
Oh, you were great. Your jokes were so awesome.
With children there?
Well, I didn't know there was.
Oh, it was great. And I was going to talk, but I got too nervous and I couldn't believe it.
That's all right. Hey, Steph, did you notice how even after they told us there was one segment that was going to be on the air, Bill Press and I still were talking with drunken sailors?
I loved it. I loved it. And Tim from Madison was there. He was on one corner in the front, and I was on the other. So.
No, all the Stephanie Miller Show characters. Thank you, Steph.
Oh,
thanks for coming. All right. Yeah. It was great. Yeah, I don't know. Well, Bill and I were both drunk, first of all. And we did a little bumping and grinding. I did a little ass grabbing. Yeah, and then they told us specifically this will be on the air. And the guy kept saying, thanks for all the editing. We just, I don't know. It was a little out of control. Oh, by the way, Mark in Columbus with a very, very good point. Steph, doesn't Michael Steele remind you a little of Kanye West?
Oh.
We should start calling him Kanye Steele.
I'm going to let you finish.
Because he's an asshat. Like, he interrupted the president before the president could even finish accepting his award.
Kanye West doesn't like white people.
Exactly. At least not Taylor Swift.
Yeah.
All right. Mike and Madison on the drug-addled gas bag, Rush Limbaugh. Hello, Mike.
Hey, I was in the front row, too. I think she had more than two. But anyway, Rush Limbaugh took a slap this weekend. It appears that most of the NFL owners are afraid to have him own a team because he appears, at least on the outside, to be a bit racist.
Yeah.
Yeah, you think? You think? But what a fine physical specimen. I think... He should certainly be involved somehow in athletics, don't you?
He should be a water boy.
Exactly.
Oh, that's right. He already is.
By the way, how is that going? So it looks like he is going to be one of the owners of the Rams?
No, it looks like they are afraid to let him in. I know at least, Mr. Rooney wouldn't like it. Some of these guys are like Rush Limbaugh, but they're afraid. See, he's out there in the public view, and a lot of people don't like him. So
yeah.
I don't, and
we
read,
you know, Mike, we did, I think it was, I guess the quote of a couple of weeks ago. Remember, Jim? It was like 10. It was like his, just like top 10, like horribly racist quotes over the years. So it's not like a one thing, like the Donovan McNabb
mm-hmm.
thing. I mean, he's,
right.
He really has.
Well, he knows his audience.
Yeah.
Well, I'll tell you what, if he is an owner, he isn't going to want to be on the sidelines.
That's
yeah.
right.
Yeah. All right. Thank you. Thank you, Mike. All right. So, yes, the president, I think we were mentioning, the headline says it all. Republicans mock Obama's Peace Prize. Russians praise it. President
Medvedev.
Oh, like that was better. He said, I hope this decision would serve as an additional incentive for our common work to form a new climate in world politics and promote initiatives which are fundamentally important for global security. Meanwhile, the Republicans trying to raise money off of mocking this, asking for contributions to the RNC. Michael Steele wrote, the Democrats and their international leftist allies want America made subservient to the agenda of global redistribution and control.
What?
And truly patriotic Americans like you and our Republican Party are the only thing standing in their way. You see how that there they are again. They're the only true Americans.
Right.
They're the only
patriots. They want war.
Yeah.
War against the entire world.
Wow.
Yeah, or else you're not a good patriot. See how that is? All right, here is the president himself on Friday on the Nobel Prize.
Well, this is not how I expected to wake up this morning. After I received the news, Malia walked in and said, Daddy, you won the Nobel Peace Prize, and it is Bo's birthday. And then Sasha added, plus we have a 3-day weekend coming up. So It's good to have kids to keep things in perspective.
Yes.
He is a terrible Fred Armisen.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, this was something new we haven't seen in quite some time in the White House. Here is humility, true humility. Here he is again.
I am both surprised and deeply humbled by the decision of the Nobel Committee. Let me be clear. I do not view it as a recognition of my own accomplishments, but rather as an affirmation of American leadership on behalf of aspirations held by people in all nations.
Humility is gay in French. It's like exactly. Peace. We want war! Kill everybody! Kill, kill, die, die!
Could I have my, I guess, the quote music, please?
Sure.
Just an interesting take, just a different take, Jim. Who said, in fact, Obama's approach has already produced remarkable results. Russia and China, after long opposition, agreed last week to a toughening of the nuclear non-proliferation treaty. And in a striking shift, Russia signaled it may support tougher sanctions against Iran. The Obama administration's decision to cultivate a relationship with both countries to listen to their concerns is paying off. Who said that?
Success in international diplomacy. It's gay in French. Bennett Cerf.
No, Fareed Zakaria in a
close, sort of.
Entitled "Working with the World, Not Against It," huh?
Yeah, Fareed Zakaria is just like Bennett Cerf.
Yes, they're from the same species, live on the same planet.
In the Newsweek magazine. Jim,
yes.
Who said Obama's outreach to the world is an experiment and not just to see if the world will respond. He wants to demonstrate at home that engagement does not make America look weak. For decades, it's been thought deadly for an American politician to be seen as seeking international cooperation. Denouncing, demeaning, and insulting other countries was a cheap and easy way to seem strong. In the battle of images, tough and stupid always seems to win. Who said that?
Curtis LeMay.
No.
No, he wouldn't have said that at all.
That was once again Fareed Zakaria.
Uh-huh.
The new Newsweek magazine.
You got a chance to read the magazine on the flight, didn't you?
Yes. Yes. That's why the guess the quote never comes from a magazine unless Mama's had a trip.
That's right.
Okay. Finally, Jim, who said Obama is gambling that America is now mature enough to understand the machismo is not foreign policy and that grandstanding on the global stage just won't succeed. In a new world with other countries more powerful and confident, America's success, its security, its prosperity depends on working with others. It's a big, bold gambit. Who said that?
Ari Fleischer.
No, another spectacularly bad guest. Fareed Zakaria.
Mm-hmm.
In the new Newsweek magazine that Mama had to turn to.
Hey, he don't sound American. He's got a funny name.
Mama doesn't normally. Anything that cuts into cocktail hour back home, Chris, I don't get to that.
Yeah.
I don't get to that. All right. So the president, once again, on Friday.
To be honest, I do not feel that I deserve to be in the company of so many of the transformative figures who've been honored by this prize, men and women who've inspired me and inspired the entire world through their courageous pursuit of peace. But I also know that this prize reflects the kind of world that those men and women and all Americans want to build, a world that gives life to the promise of our founding documents.
Wow, the Constitution, French, gay, yeah. And socialistical. All right, Rush Limbaugh says the Nobel gang suicide bombed themselves.
Huh?
We've had to talk about that.
What does that mean?
And much more Nobel reaction as we continue. 42 minutes after the hour, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
It's full of witches and strange creatures of the night.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Yes, it is the Stephanie Miller Show. 47 minutes after the hour, the Dow is up 41 points. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number. Toll free from anywhere. Tim and Madison, my baby, was in the audience Saturday night. Good morning, Tim.
Good morning. I was so happy to actually meet you and Bill Press. It was a great night.
Thank you.
You know, I'm just looking at the whole event, and I don't think my father-in-law, one, will ever wash his head again.
Oh, did I lick his head? I think I did.
Yes. Yes, you did. He'll never wash his head again. I am never going to wash my cheek again, and I think my partner is now jealous.
Aww.
You know, Tim, we were talking about gay rights and AIDS and a bunch of stuff at the show on Saturday night. What did you think, and what did you think the reaction was in the gay community to his speech this weekend?
honestly, I was actually, I liked Trump. I liked it. I just think, I wish it comes true. I hope everything that he says will actually come out. I don't want to ask, I want, don't ask, don't tell. I want that gone. I would, you know, it would have been great to actually serve my country if, you know, I wasn't so flaming and out.
yeah.
You know. Yeah, well, once I'm out of that closet, there's no way.
Yeah, they wouldn't. They wouldn't even have to ask you. They'd be like, "Oh,
no. Yeah, you don't even bother. Just get out."
But you know, I mean, he obviously that was the thing. Is I mean, he said, "I will," and don't ask, don't tell. So I kind of feel like it's in Congress's hands now, right? I mean, he'll sign it.
The thing is, I don't want it in Congress's hands. I want him to basically go to Congress and say, "Get rid of this. Get rid of this now." I don't want to. That's what I would like to see. I think it's time.
Yeah, but
haven't
isn't this
that.
What we've heard, Tim? Is that, you know, Congress is waiting for the White House and White House is waiting for Congress. But I mean, wasn't this a clear message to Congress? I want to end Don't Ask, Don't Tell. I mean,
You know, no offense, but health care was a clear message to Congress too, and look how they've been messing that up.
Well, we'll see. We haven't gotten there yet. All right, honey. Good
Stephanie.
To meet you too.
Yep, bye.
All right, honey. David and Madison, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show as well. Hello, Dave.
Hey, Mama, it was great to see you and Bill here in beautiful Satanic Madison.
Yeah.
And I wanted to prove to everybody that I was actually there, so you took a beautiful picture of me in the lobby.
That's right. He asked me to take a picture of him.
Yeah, yeah. Well, it's still my lifelong goal of having a second-tier celebrity take a picture of me.
Thank you. I'm glad I could. Dreams can come true. Thank you, Dave.
I wanted to tell you that, you know, one of the themes of the evening was how our elected Democrats need to get a backbone.
Mm-hmm.
And I took that as a personal challenge that so do I. And I need to be the guy who calls our officials and demand that they do the right thing.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
I would like to just thank you and Bill and Press for lighting a fire under my butt.
There you go. All right, honey. Thank you.
Wow, you're
right,
a second-tier celebrity? Wow.
Wow.
We've moved up in the world.
Yeah.
I got promoted.
Congratulations.
Thank you. Thank you. All right. The president on the Nobel Prize again on
I know that throughout history, the Nobel Peace Prize has not just been used to honor a specific achievement. It's also been used as a means to give momentum to a set of causes. And that is why I will accept this award as a call to action, a call for all nations to confront the common challenges of the 21st century.
What? All nations, common challenges?
We're working together.
What?
God, yes.
We tell people what to do.
Yes.
We're America, damn it.
Rush Limbaugh said the Nobel Prize Committee, my friend, suicide bombed itself.
Oh, jeez.
But I continue, it gets left word tells it. He said the Nobel gang just suicide bombed themselves. Gore, Carter, Obama, soon Bill Clinton. See a pattern here? They're all leftist sellouts. George Bush liberates 50 million Muslims in Iraq.
Yeah, and liberates a couple hundred thousand of them from their lives.
Yeah, why wasn't he awarded for that, Jim? That's curious. Reagan liberates hundreds of millions of Europeans.
Because he's the only one who ever fought the Cold War.
Right.
And Reagan was, before that they just ignored the Soviet Union completely.
Oh.
Right.
And, why didn't George Bush get an award for liberating millions of Muslims of their lives?
Yes.
Why?
And we liberated a lot of these people in South America by supporting right-wing dictatorships.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, and Reagan also, according to Rush, saved parts of Latin America.
Yeah. Through murder and rape of nuns. Nuns being thrown out of helicopters, that kind of thing.
He said, it's a greater embarrassment than losing the Olympic bid. And when this award, elites of the world are urging Obama to basically continue his intentions to emasculate the United States of America.
He seems to be obsessed with that.
He should be one to
though.
Talk about being a man. He probably hasn't seen his unit in how many years.
Oh,
he seems to be obsessed with this emasculation thing.
Yeah, he does seem
talking
to
be. Talking about feminazis and all that.
Yes. As you mentioned, Chris, Senator John McCain, one of the only decent Republicans on Friday.
Oh, I'm sure that the president is very honored to receive this award. And the Nobel Committee, I can't divine all their intentions, but I think part of their decision-making was expectations. And I'm sure the president understands that he now has even more to live up to. But as Americans, we're proud when our president receives an award of that prestigious category.
See, a guy who was actually in war doesn't see a problem with an award for peace.
Yeah.
Yeah, no,
interesting.
Weird. Yeah,
whereas
exactly.
Rush Limbaugh just can't wait for other people to fight wars.
The president is not an Arab. He's a good family man.
Yeah. he meant well.
Bat Bleep Crazy Glenn Beck said that a Nobel Prize Awards Committee has given out its first participation trophy. Ha, 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 ha. He tweeted that. Beck continued saying he has to turn it down because it's such a joke, which was echoed, by the way, by Dr. Laura, who said he should give it back.
Yeah, she was quite the bitch in her comments.
That's a change.
Yeah.
Watch, that's so out of character.
And
for her.
The doctor should have quotation marks around it, by the way.
Yes. Yeah, she said he should reject the Nobel Peace Prize. Yeah, she said it has become an anti-American organization that has sought to use its awards to influence world opinion and American policy to its own end, blah,
because
blah,
peace
blah,
is French
blah.
And gay. Why don't they just come out and say it? That's what
I
they
believe
mean.
She was up for the for those pictures on the internet, Jim. She was up for the Nobel Peace of Ass Award.
Yeah.
That could be a rumor that I just heard on the internet, and I probably should not have repeated. I apologize.
Why did you bring up the memory of those pictures?
Now just to I'm give not you that visual.
Yeah, now I'm not going to be able to get them out of my head for the rest of the day. All I can say is that a little wax would do her good.
Oh.
What?
So the open booing of the president winning the Nobel Prize, just when you think, have they at long last no decency? No, they didn't a while ago. The headline today also, 30 Republican senators vote to defend gang rape.
Yeah.
Yes.
A new low by any account, stunning 30 Republican members of the United States Senate would vote to protect a corporation, in this case Halliburton KBR, over a woman who was gang raped.
Oh, my God.
You heard
God.
About this.
Mm-hmm.
Jamie Lee Jones was gang raped by her co-workers when she was working for Halliburton in Iraq. She was detained in a shipping container for 24 hours without food, water, or a bed, warned her if she left Iraq for medical treatment, she'd be out of a job. She was not an isolated case, by the way. She was prevented from bringing charges in court against KBR because her employment contract stipulated that sexual assault allegations would only be heard in private arbitration. Offering Ms. Jones legal relief, Senator Al Franken, who offered an amendment that would withhold a defense contract from companies like KBR if they restrict their employees from taking workplace sexual assault, battery, and discrimination cases to court. That seems simple enough, and yet, to Republican Senator Jefferson Beauregard Sessions of Alabama, allowing victims of sexual assault a day in court is tantamount to a political attack on Halliburton.
Yes.
And the 29 others, all men, chose to join him in opposing the Frank Amendment. Simply mind-boggling. I think we have more. We have some audio from the senator.
It is absolutely stunning that the comedian Al Franken stole his Senate seat from Norm Coleman. I mean, come on, Minnesota is clearly a center-right state. As I say, it is stunning and appalling that the so-called Senator Frankenjew would launch this unprecedented, unjustified attack against Halliburton. Why, it's unconstitutional. We in Alabama are strong defenders of the Constitution. When we're not advocating the violent overthrow of the U.S. government, of course. Why, it says right there in the preamble that we have the God-given right to life, liberty, and the pursuit of non-consensual sodomy. These rights were amplified in the bitch-headed Cummin Amendment.
Oh...
Which precedes the darkies better hush up if they know what's good for them amendment. Oh, wait, that was the Confederate Constitution. No matter. The point is, little Miss Big Mouth better consider dropping her little lawsuit. Or I wouldn't be walking alone on the street at night if I was her. Especially not in Alabama. She might not end up wishing she was in a blazing hot shipping container with no food or water. What? Why do you damn liberals hate America? Ow! Ow! There y'all go with your war of northern aggression again. Ah, I gotta go. Ow.
Bye, Beauregard. Oh, boy. Yeah, just when you really thought like maybe you read that wrong, right, Jim? You're
yeah.
Just
like, what?
What?
Huh?
You're voting to
voting?
Protect corporations and not the person that was gang raped?
In favor of gang rape.
Yeah. Where is that in the Constitution?
Yeah. Wow.
Life, liberty, and the pursuit of non-consensual sodomy.
It's really, that was a stunning. Just when you think we've hit the new low, then there's a new low. Then there's a new low. Speaking of which, you know who documents that almost better than anybody? Media Matters for
yes.
America.
Mm-hmm.
Eric Bollert is a Ooh. Senior fellow,
nice
as you know.
Nice segue.
Thank you. All rise, Queen Segway. He will join me next to co-host a rollicking right-wing world on the Stephanie Miller Show.